America weekend.
Welcome back to America Weekend. I'm Ed Kalecki along with
Christina Staffo.
California is facing one of its worst droughts on record, and the situation seems to worsen every day. Here's someone who sees it, understands it, and actually lives it every day. It is always good to speak with weather personality Lloyd Lindsay Young. Lloyd, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you so much, and hello, Ed, and hello, Christina.
Hello.
Yes, a pleasure to be back. We have, obviously, a 3-4 year drought going here in Northern California. We have already had numerous brush fires break out. Fortunately, nothing too serious, but we're very concerned because the ground is so parched that the fire risk is going to be extreme this summer. The rainfall amounts have just been horrible. For example, Christina and Ed, in the Sierra Nevada this past winter, we only had 5% of the normal snowfall. It was so bad that the resorts opened for a week or two and then sent everybody home.
Oh, wow.
So there's no snowpack. And, of course, Southern California affected even worse than Northern California, but we are so far below normal, it's ridiculous. But there is hope. And the hope is not the summer. The hope is El Nino is very strong off the Central and South America coast. That means the ocean temperature is running close to 2 degrees above normal. Mm-hmm. Now, that doesn't sound like much, but that's a strong El Nino. And on top of that, even the Meteorological Society of Australia put out a statement with concerning this strong El Nino. So, Christina and Ed, we are hoping that this thing holds up for the next 3 months, because here we are coming up on July, and our rainy season generally starts right around Halloween here. So for all intents and purposes, the normal rainy season in California is November through April. So there's no chance of anything significant for the summer.
So you keep talking about El Nino. Can you explain to me exactly what that is?
The last severe El Nino, first of all, before I explain exactly what it is, the last severe year in Northern California was the winter of 1997 and 98, when we had really severe flooding in Northern California. The area, not only the Bay Area, but the Sacramento, the American River, the Sacramento River overflowed, and when you have an El Nino situation, we have the Pineapple Connection opens up. Now, why we refer to it as the Pineapple Connection, we get our flow of air right from Hawaii and Japan, so it's very warm, moist air that comes up. So what happened back in 97 and 98, we had the snowpack early, and the very warm rain fell on top of the Sierra Nevada, causing this massive flooding, and it was so severe, even affected Reno, Nevada, where the Truckee River overflowed, and believe it or not, even closed Harrah's Casino in Reno and a few other places. So the last, it's been, I have a quick math here, it's been like 16, 17 years since we've had an El Nino. Again, what the El Nino is, and scientists really don't know exactly why this occurs, but it is the abnormally warm ocean temperature off Central and South America. Now, La Nina is the opposite. It's colder water than normal.
Oh, I see.
And what happens in a La Nina year, as far as California is concerned, we generally will get a normal amount of rain, but it's unusually cold, and a La Nina year, for some reason, affects the Pacific Northwest with heavy rain and snow, but it doesn't help California. So, once again, scientists really can't figure out why this phenomenon occurs, but I'm optimistic, because here we are, it's almost the 1st of July, and it's going strongly. So, again, the key last year, Ed and Christina, what happened is we had a weak El Nino, and then it you know, by this time of the year or July, it just kind of dissipated and set us up for another drought. So we have to hope that this holds, to reiterate, for the next 2 or 3 months, and then we're in good shape.
Now, this has been a very difficult time for the people of California. I was looking online the other night to get ready for our chat, and Governor Brown has set up a website where there's always these advisories. There have been so many limitations. Now, first of all, how has that gone? What are some of the limitations, and how hard and how difficult has this been for the average everyday Californian to deal with?
I don't think it's been that difficult for the average Californian to deal with so far. First of all, people are being urged to not water their lawns. The other thing is, as far as even something as simple as taking a shower, Californians have been urged to take very brief showers. I think this is mainly affecting the Central Valley much more so with the farmers, because the crops like almonds and pistachios rely heavily on water. But you know what's so irritating about this whole setup? You go to let's use Palm Springs as an example in the California desert. They're ignoring these water restrictions. I mean, you take a look at some of the golf courses. Of course, Palm Springs has for decades been an area where wealthy people have gone to golf for winter vacations.
Right.
And the golf courses down there are lush and green, so they've disregarded it. Now, there's been talk of levying extensive fines.
Sure.
For people who overwater, but what I'm wondering out loud here is how difficult is that going to be to enforce?
Yeah.
You know, obviously not enough people to go around and check everybody's watering habits.
Yeah, but if you see a famous place that has a lush green,
sure.
You know, I mean, obviously they're not following rules,
well,
right?
They're not following rules.
They don't care in Palm Springs. It's obvious because they're watering heavily. Another thing, there's a... in Dublin, California, which is a suburb of San Francisco, they're opening up a brand new water world, water slide amusement center, and that's going to require a great deal of water.
A tremendous amount of water.
So they're not paying it. They're not, you know, this has been in the planning works for 10 years in Alameda County, and they're not paying any attention to this.
You know, Lloyd, it's infuriating because you've got situations like that, but while you also, you talked about some of the farming, the aspects there where you have, and that brings a giant economic burden on the state as well.
Sure it does.
If you're losing the pistachio crop, the almond crop, and if all of a sudden you're going to have this hardship there, but you're opening water parks and you're making sure that the ninth green looks good on a Thursday morning.
Exactly. That's exactly right. You know, it's like hypocritical almost.
It is.
I mean, like I say, the central, in a normal year, the melt off from the Sierra Nevada takes care of the Central Valley.
Right.
The Big Valley runs all the way from south of Bakersfield, and then the Grapevine, of course, goes over the hill into Los Angeles, all the way up to Redding, California. And this valley is over 550 miles long. And that is the, Fresno County, for example, is the richest agricultural, and raisins, let's not forget raisins, because Fresno is the raisin capital of the United States. So all of these critical crops are being affected, and it's really severely affecting the farmers. And by the way, the Central Valley is kind of, many parts of the Central Valley, other than farmers, is kind of poverty-stricken. So there's really two Californias. Mm-hmm. There's the coast, where, you know, wealthy people live.
Right.
As a matter of fact, I'm getting a little off the subject here, but the San Francisco Bay Area is the richest metro area in the United States as far as housing is concerned. But then you get into the Central Valley, which is kind of almost forgotten in places like Bakersfield and Fresno, where there's a tremendous poverty level. So the Central Valley is critical, and the farmers out there are really hurting for these extremely important crops, which feeds the nation.
What do you think global warming has to do with this? I just watched that Al Gore documentary, The Inconvenient Truth, and it kind of like opened my eyes to the whole like global warming thing. Just weird weather patterns that are unusual. Is that what's causing this?
Partially. I mean, I definitely believe global warming exists, but on the other hand, weather patterns are cyclical. Now, the weather this year so far has been very bizarre. We have had a tremendous amount of flooding in Texas, as you know. Mm-hmm. Houston has had not only a major flood on the Memorial Day weekend, they had a tropical storm go through there a week or two ago, and we've had a tremendous tornado outbreaks in the Midwest. So to answer your question, you know, global warming is real. I personally saw it a few years ago when I took a cruise with my wife up to Juneau, Alaska, and you could see the Mendenhall Glacier, a famous glacier there, is retreating. So global warming is real, but why it is happening, I'm not sure.
Lloyd, stay with us. We're coming up on a break. More to come with Lloyd Lindsay Young. I'm Ed Kalenge, and this is America Weekend from the Envision Radio Network.
America Weekend.
Order in the court.
This is attorney Jay Coleman with the final verdict. Dave and Sally don't regret having kids, but it's been very expensive to raise them. Dave decided to get a vasectomy to avoid any costly mistakes in the future. Unfortunately, his doctor botched the operation and Sally became pregnant. Now the couple is suing the doctor. But what can they sue him for? Since they can't sue for pain, suffering, or mental distress, how have they been damaged? The final verdict after this.
The Movie Man 6-second DVD review starts now.
With the great cast and a heart of gold, the second best exotic Marigold Hotel is worth checking into. I'm in.
6-second reviews are brought to you by summer's most unapologetic new comedy, Trainwreck, starring Amy Schumer, in theaters July 17th.
Dave and Sally can sue the doctor who botched the vasectomy for the average cost of raising a child to adulthood. And that's the final verdict.
Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. So how many brains do you have inside that head of yours? And yep, it's a trick question. The answer, 4.
Yeah, that's weird, isn't it?
No, it's not weird. No, not weird. It's actually quite normal.
That's right, 4. There are 3 inside of your head. Okay, I'm getting technical. But based on the laws of encephalization, your brain grew from 1 part into 3. But here's the rest of the science. New research suggests that we have a 4th brain hiding somewhere in our abdomen.
Oh, now you're just being crazy.
This brain is responsible for digestion, which is an act so complicated it needs its own specialist directing the activity. Now, what's the cheap psychological trick? Well, have you ever heard or used the expression, I have a gut feeling? The truth, you probably do, and you got a specialized brain to help you monitor it. Check out my book, Cheap Psychological Tricks for Parents, at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MY-TV.